the rabbi.
Let's go. Okay, Yashkech. First of all, big Yashkech, thank you for opening up your home. Me and Aaron go way back. I know he's sneaking over there. No, it's okay. He shouldn't sit. It's fine. Let him stay over there. It's fine. Hi. Rav Hashem should bless you. You should have nachas and simcha and bracha ad v'lidai. The Shechina HaKadosh, you should fill the home and fill your lives. You should have nachas from the kids and health in a good way until 120, Bez Hashem. B'slech Kol Yisrael. So, there's a lot to talk about. You know, the month of year is, obviously every month, as we always talk about, every month has its yontif, you know. And usually you can say that there's, you know, one yontif in a month. But there are a couple months that are the exception to that. Tishrei is the exception to that. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, and so on. And Iyar as well. Iyar is the month that obviously we have, you know, Lag BaOmer. But it was also just Pesach Sheni a couple of days ago. So there's a lot to talk about. We'll see if we could sort of cover all our bases. But there's one aspect of the month of Iyar that I think is worthwhile to talk about, and it's related to Lag BaOmer. You know, there's a well known Rosh HaTevis and a siman for the month of Iyar. Iyar is spelled Aleph Yud Yud Resh. That's Iyar. So there's a famous Rosh HaTevis for that. That Iyar stands for Ani Hashem Roifecha. Ani Hashem Roifecha. Aleph is Ani, Hashem is Yud Yud Roifecha. So it's brought down that the month of Iyar is a month that's mesugal for refuas, for being healthy and so on. So have to think about that. You know, I mean, it's a nice thing. Every month has its energy. But
is the rain a real thing?
The rain? No, there's such a thing. There's such a thing. It's brought down by some svarim that when it rains in Iyar, the first rain in Iyar, maybe I don't know if it's the first rain, but we could say the first, you know, rainy few days, there's an inyan of if it's clean, to maybe drink some of the rainwater also as a refuah. But there's such a thing. Ani Hashem Rofecha. So the question is why does Iyar carry that strength? And obviously, if Iyar has that, it must be that it's related to Lag BaOmer too. So it's like this. When it comes to the yontif of Lag BaOmer, so there's really two sort of, I guess, storylines or two sort of things that the Jewish people celebrate. And it's always, you know, you could always talk about one or the other, or both. But one of the aspects of Lag BaOmer is, as we know, the Gemara tells us that the students are Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. And, you know, the Eretz Yisrael was full of Torah because of them. 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. And we know the Gemara says in Yevamos that they all passed away during the times of Sfira. And according to most traditions, they stopped dying by Lag BaOmer. And that's part of the celebration. The celebration of Lag BaOmer is the ending of the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And why were they, you know, such a fate? So the Gemara says famously, Shleinogu Kaviz Zebizeh. They didn't, simple translation, Shleinogu Kaviz Zebizeh, they didn't treat each other with proper respect. First of all, there's a number of problems. First of all, really, Talmid Rabbi Akiva, they didn't treat each other nicely. They were like shooting spitballs on each other, putting like kick me signs on the back of their friends, you know. What does that mean? Also, the language of the Gemara is strange. When you in Hebrew, when you want to describe one person respecting another person, the wording would be to be noheg kavod lichavera or lize, to act with honor and dignity towards someone. So the language of the Gemara should be that they didn't do shaloi nogu kavod ze lize. That's not what the Gemara says. Shaloi nogu kavod ze bize. Now that's a very strange term. I guess literally it means they didn't act with honor one within the other. But that doesn't, I mean, even in English doesn't make sense. It should be you didn't act with honor towards the other. What's zeb bizeb? It's a very strange thing. Okay, so you have to figure that out. And what does that have to do with the other side of Lag BaOmer, which is celebrating the Torah and the life of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know the Gemara says in Yevamos that Rabbi Akiva, again, all of his students passed away. Lag BaOmer is when they stopped. And then Rabbi Akiva was mechazik himself to start again. And he went to the south of Eretz Yisrael, and he found five students, and he taught them. And from there, Torah really regenerated itself. The five students were Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon was one of the five. And Lag B'Omer also is Rosh Hashanah Baruch Hu's Yahrzeit. So, you know, so therefore there's a connection there. But we know that Lag B'Omer certainly, there's no question about it, that it's not just, there's a very strong, you know, sort of energy on Yom Kippur focusing on not just Rav Shimon being one of the five students. We have songs, Bar Yochai, you know, so there's songs dedicated to his greatness. So certainly Lag B'Omer, on the one hand, is talking about Rabbi Kiva, the you know, his students stopping to die. Shalei Nogu Kavod Zebizah, as we mentioned. There's another side of Lag B'Omer, which is celebrating what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in particular represents, which is the secrets of Torah, Pinyus HaTorah, the Zohar Kaddish. So these are the two things that we have to figure out. What do they have to do with each other? What do they have to do with each other? What is the inyan of the students Rabbi Akiva? Just got started. What's the inyan of the students Rabbi Akiva? Again, dying because Shalei Nogu Kavod Zebizah and stopping dying Lag B'Omer. Again, if they stopped on Lag B'Omer, it means that Lag B'Omer carries with it the secret of fixing that issue of Shalei Nogu Kavod Zebizah. On the other hand, Lag B'Omer also means and represents the Torah of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the secrets of Torah. So what do those two things have to do with each other? Okay. Let's take a step back. Where's the first place in Chumash where there's a remez to Lag B'Omer? Now, obviously, historically, Lag B'Omer happened much, much later past Chumash. But where's the first place it's hinted to? Now, the truth is, I mean, you know, you could find subtle hints, you know, everywhere. But the one more open hint that the Sefer HaKadoshim point to is in the following pasuk in Parshas Vayetze. So he goes, Yaakov Avinu, right, he's running away from Esav, so he goes to the house of Lavan, Rachel and Leah, the Shvatim, the whole story, and then he's had enough from Lavan, and he knows that Lavan's not going to let him go, so he just has to escape, middle of the night. So him, the whole family, they pick up, they pack everything, they move, they escape. Lavan hears about this, and he begins to chase after Yaakov with the intention of killing him and the whole family. That's Bikeshi Lavan. Lachar Sakol, right? The Lavan wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He wanted to kill Yaakov and the whole family. Hashem stops that from happening. But ultimately, he catches up with Yaakov. They have a whole back and forth, like a heated argument. And at some point, eventually, they just part ways. Yaakov says to Lavan, listen, this is the end of our relationship. You stay here. I'm going past this and finished. And the Pasuk says in Parashas of Yetzeh that Yaakov takes a mound of stones. He creates a pile of stones, symbolically creating a border. And he says, Eid Hagal Hazeh, Ve'eid HaMatzeva, that this mound of stones will be testimony, will be a symbolic, you know, sort of borderline, that you will not cross this area to come to me, I won't cross this area to come to you, this is where we split. Eid Hagal Hazeh. So the Svarim, Baal Tanya, many Svarim say that Eid Hagal Hazeh, it really goes back to Arizal himself, referenced this pasuk when it comes to Lag B'Omer too, that Eid Hagal Hazeh is a reference to Lag B'Omer. The word Gal, same letters as Lag, is Lag B'Omer. Now there's more complicated gematries and stuff like that to explain why Lag B'Omer is related to this pasuk, but that's what we know from the Svarim, that this is the first remez or hint to Lag B'Omer is Eid Hagal Hazeh, which means that When Lag B'Omer sort of emerges later on in history, you know, in full blossom, we have these two sides. You have the inyan of repairing the mistake of the students Rabbi Akiva. That's what Lag B'Omer means. Shaloi Nogu Kavod Zebizah. Lag B'Omer somehow repairs that. And there's also this other side of celebrating Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and secrets of Torah. But in its origin point, the first emergence of Lag B'Omer is in this inyan of overcoming the obstacle of Lavan. That's really the first emergence of Lag B'Omer. Eid Hagal Hazeh. Yaakov saying, you're not coming past this point. In other words, we're done. I've overcome this Nisayan of Lavan, we've overcome. And so Lag B'Omer, in a deeper sense, means to overcome the challenge of Lavan. And that's the first place that Lag B'Omer emerges. So what is the... So now if we want to understand Lag B'Omer, we have to now go a little bit back to understand what's this Yetzer, what's this issue of Lavan. And when we can identify what Lavan is, what's the issue with Lavan, so now Lag B'Omer means overcoming that, and that'll explain everything else. So what was Lavan's main assault on Yaakov Avinu, on the Jewish people? So we know that, again, in that story, when he's chasing after Yaakov, he's trying to kill them, but that... But that doesn't happen. Hashem stops them, so that's not such a threat. What was the main issue that Lavan did cause? So we know that Yaakov, he meets Rachel, right? And he wants to marry Rachel. And that was the plan. And everything's set up like that, right? But we know the whole thing. So Lavan makes a switch. And instead of it being Rachel, it's Leah. And Yaakov, you know, confronts Lavan. He says, what's going on? So Lavan says, Lo yose came bim kameinu. That's not the way it works by us. That the younger one should be the first one to get married. The first is the first, the second is the second. That's what Lavan says. So in a deep, so what is that? So that really in is the core Yetzirah, the core klipa, the core negativity of what Lavan means. And so ultimately, Lag Boimer, which means overcoming Lavan, Eid HaGal HaZeh, and then later on it just manifests in different ways with the students of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and so on. Lag Boimer means overcoming that issue, which is, this is not the way it goes. The first is the first, the second is the second. So what is that issue? Okay. So let me share with you something we find in one of the Svarim from the Rizal. One of the Svarim is called Shar Gulgulim, which, it's probably within all the Kisveri, the one that sells the most because it has like the name, the Book of Reincarnation. So people are excited by that. But in Shar Gulgulim, so the Rizal reveals the following observation, and you should know. Once you know this, it's hard to forget it, and it could be useful. It could be useful. The reason says like this: we know that the way neshamas work is that, obviously everyone has their own neshama, that's for sure. But there is also like there's a certain amount of like root neshamas. Like you have to think of the Jewish people as far as the souls of the Jewish people are concerned, like a tree. So obviously you have one single, trunk, it's, Avram Avinu, the Avis, and so on. But then that breaks out into branches. You have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all the Shvatim, and so on. And then each branch has twigs, and every twig has a few leaves on it, and it keeps on branching out like that. So eventually you get to millions and millions of little individual neshamas. But you have the system in place of where you have many people that they share the same root, or they share the same branch, I should say, right? And so, to a certain degree, anyone from the same Shevet shares the same branch, right? More specifically, if you get more detailed, even within the same branch, which then breaks off into sub-branches and so on. But you could have two people that are like mamish, two leaves coming off of the same twig. Says the Arizal, whenever you have two people, the Arizal says, there is such a phenomenon of two yidden that sort of don't get along, right? Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you read about it in a book maybe at some point. Two yidden that don't get along. And there's just this feeling of, they could enter into this like huge, football field, which is, hundreds of yards, but they just feel like there's not enough space for both of them, So there's such a thing over, they just, something about it. The Rizal says, can't say for sure always, but very often, the reason for that is because they actually share the same branch. And there is a feeling between the two of them that they're both trying to draw energy because everything, all blessings that you have in your life travels through that tree, right? So whether it be health and parnasa, you name it, anything that you have spiritually and physically, when for that energy, for that leaf to be sustained and to be healthy and well, the vitamins and minerals and nutrition and so on, life force has to somehow be drawn by the trunk and then it goes to the branches and the branches to the twigs and so on and so forth until it makes its way to that particular leaf. So ultimately, everyone draws their life force through the system of that tree. So these two neshamas, these two leaves that they're sharing the same twig, there's a subconscious or superconscious feeling between the two of them as if they're fighting for the same sap, as if they're fighting for the same energy. And each one feels that the other one is stepping on their toes. Now, this is not a conscious thing, so they don't even know, they might not know this, they most likely don't know this consciously. But there's this feeling of the world's not big enough for the two of them. And so because of that, they'll come up with all sorts of excuses and reasons why they don't like each other or whatever it is, but ultimately it's coming because they're mamish brothers or sisters. And to a certain degree, they could be even closer than biological brothers and sisters. Biological, this is a thing by itself. We're not going into this right now. It's not, I don't want to, there's only so much messing up of people's heads that I feel comfortable doing, you know, Wednesday mornings. So what, but there is such a thing. Even siblings are not necessarily from the same twig. Not necessarily.
They, clarity, actually. Not necessarily.
Yeah? Okay, good. Fine. So you should know. You're not necessarily related to your siblings. But, but no, everything's still. Parents, too. But we're not going into that. But, yeah. Anyway, so that you know, but these two people, so the Rizal says like this. So in this world, there's this, again, this sense of there's not enough space for both of them. In the next world, when everything becomes clear, as we'll speak about soon, then if the Rizal says like this, but if these two people, and that's what's going to be in the next world for sure, but even in this world it's possible, if they're able to somehow figure it out, then they could become closer, like I said, than closer than siblings. Mamash closer than siblings, because they're literally coming from the same twig. So let's go back. Lavan, what's the, until that, you know, while these two people, let's give the examples. So you have these two people and they're sort of, they both feel that there's not enough energy for both of them. And they're both, you know, jostling with each other. In such a scenario, until they figure it out, the best that they can do is, like Avraham Avinu said to Lot, which is, whichever direction you go, I'm going the other way. Because when they're together, there's this feeling of there's not enough space. So what's the Eitzah? I'm going to give you your space. I'll give you my space. That's the best we can do. It's the best we can do. Now, Avraham Avinu with Lot certainly had to do that. Lot and Avraham are not, that's a separate thing. Lot was a Russia. We're not talking about that. But I'm giving that as an example of you go your way, I'll go my way. Let's go back to what Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu. This is not the way it goes. To give that the younger one should be first to get married before the older one. In other words, what Lavan was saying, and Lavan was not a simple person. You know, he's a Rasha, but Lavan was not a simple person. And certainly when he's talking to Yaakov Avinu, trying to convince Yaakov Avinu what the right thing is, he's coming from a deep place. What Lavan was saying to Yaakov is that Rachel and Leah, not only are they biological siblings, but they're coming from the same twig. You know, Rachel and Leah. They're, as far as neshamas are concerned, they were coming from the same branch. Rachel and Leah are bound to each other spiritually as well, soulfully. And so Lavan is saying to Yaakov, in order to maintain shalom, even to maintain a healthy relationship between Rachel and Leah, Leah has to be one and Rachel has to be two. Once you, if they're born in such an order, then we gotta keep them separate like that also. Once you start having Rachel married first, so now you're already mixing the pot. Now you're saying that to a certain degree, Leah's number one in terms of biological age, but then Rachel's is in her place in terms of getting married. And Rachel's number two in terms of biological age, but Leah's in her place in terms of getting married. You're forcing them into the same room, which is not the way it's supposed to be. And so you have to keep them separate. Rachel has to be number two on all levels. Leah has to be number one on all levels. And that's what it has to be. And Lavan is presenting this in a very clear way. I'm sure he gave the Maror Makom of the, you know, it says in Shaar Gevulim that two leaves from the same twig vie for position for each other, and it's unhealthy. You have to keep them separate. So once you're switching their slots in terms of marriage, it means that you're putting Leah in Rachel's zone and putting Rachel in Leah's zone, and that's going to cause even more conflict. Don't you want to have shalom bias? So wait, that shalom bias is to separate the two. They can't coexist like that. Now, Lavan makes a very sophisticated argument. That's why he's called Lavan Harami. He knows how to sell things. Not only was this Lavan, but this is ultimately, to a certain degree, what the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva were doing. What do you mean they were disrespecting each other? They weren't disrespecting each other. They weren't, like I said, they weren't putting putting thumbtacks on each other's seats in school. That's not what they were doing. The Arizal says that all 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, without going into details, were all coming from the same branch in Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Tzaddik Ador. Rabbi Akiva has within him, Rabbi Akiva is a major branch. And within him there's he has many, you know, sort of branches that come out of him. And there was one particular root, there was one particular shayrish from Rabbi Akiva, from which comes 24,000 students. So all these 24,000 students sense spiritually, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, they knew that they're all deeply interconnected with each other, all coming from that one particular aspect of the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. And so they're thinking to themselves, well, listen, the Arizal says when you have two neshama, they felt that there's a, you know, sort of they're all vying for position. Maybe not physically or consciously, but they subconsciously, spiritually sense that there's only so much energy Rabbi Akiva has. And, you know, and they feel that each one is, each one sense that the other one is taking up too much space. And that was coming because they're all coming from the same branch, like the Arizal says. So what did they do? So of course they respected each other. But there's two different types of respect, and we'll get to this in a moment. But the respect that they did have towards each other was Nogu Kavod Ze Lizeh. Right? The Gemara says what they didn't do was Shalei Nogu Kavod Ze Bizeh. They didn't have respect within each other. We'll speak about that, what that means. But we mentioned in the beginning that in Hebrew that's not the normal way to talk. Usually respect is Ze Lizeh. But the Gemara doesn't say that they lacked that, because they didn't lack that. To be no kavod ze liza means I give you your space, you give me my space. Respect means I give you your space. That's what simple respect means. So there's a certain type of kavod that is for the purposes of maintaining distance. Like, you know, when it comes to a king or things like that, you know, there's a certain, you know, a monarch and so on has a certain amount of kavod that's like built into the system. Part of that is to maintain a distance between the monarch and the people. So there's a certain type of kavod which is to be noa kavod ze liza. Liza means a separation, and that's what the kavod is for. That the Talmid Rabbi Akiva did do, because they felt they needed to. But all of that is true, and this mahalach of giving that other person space and just, you know, you go your way, I'll go my way, I'm going to give you your respect by giving you your space, and you're going to give me my space, I'm not going to think about you. We're sort of just going to be these neighbors that don't talk to each other, and that's how we're respecting each other. That's true, and that's necessary in chitzainius, superficially. But ultimately, the Rabbanu Shlom needs and demands something a little bit deeper. So what? Because ultimately, Yaakov Avinu was right. He was supposed to marry Rachel first. And the Talmid Rabbi Akiva were wrong. They should have been noy kavod ze bizeh. So what does that mean? So it's like this. That entire way of viewing things, of these two, let's say, leaves, I gave the example, are vying for... that's all true when what each leaf is interested in is energy and nutrition and, you know, vitamins and minerals, then there's only so much. There's only so much nutrients that the tree has to offer, so it has to go somewhere. It's a finite amount. So either it goes to this, either this leaf gets the majority, this leaf gets, there's only so much you can do. And then the leaves have to sort of make it work. Okay, you go your way, I'll go my way. When you have neshamas, and those neshamas are approaching the Rabbanu Shalom with the following idea, which is, God is the source of blessing. And I need blessing. So I need blessing. This person needs blessing. Problem is, we're both sharing the same source of blessing. So whatever blessing I get is on that person's cheshbon. And whatever blessing they get is therefore on my cheshbon, because there's only so much blessing that could come down. So now it's like, you know, the more I notice that person's blessing, the more it bothers me, because whatever they have, it means I'm having less of it. That's all true when I think of blessing as just like physical, you know, lollipops and candies and gifts that God rains down upon you. There's only so much. So it has to go somewhere. What does Rishon Bar Yochai teach us? Right, the other side of Lag B'Omer is Rishon Bar Yochai and the secrets of Torah. What is Pnimius HaTorah about? Kabbalah is not about learning how to levitate and stuff like that. It's not about learning how to, like, you know, read a kvittel. Kabbalah is about revealing the following secret, which is that everything that God gives us is really just Himself in disguise. That's what Kabbalah is about. That whenever God gives blessing, it's not like there's a God up there and He's just showering down parnasa and good things and, you know, bani chayim ezayni. It's not like that. God is always giving Himself. But for God to give Himself and for God to reveal Himself and to sort of connect to us face to face, that could be an overwhelming experience. So what God does is that He disguises and He clothes, so to speak, His attachment to us in Bani Chaim Mizaini. But ultimately, everything that we experience is not the thing, but that thing is a vehicle through which we experience God Himself. That is fundamentally what Kabbalah is about. Kabbalah is a study of realizing that and an understanding that of what every single blessing, in particular, what aspect of God is interacting with me through this particular blessing. That's what it's about. And the more a person studies it and is connected to tzaddikim that and tzaddikonis that are involved with that, so the more that mindset begins to open up. But that's fundamentally what it's about. Any other tricks, you know, that come along could be just a distraction from that. But that's fundamentally what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai comes to reveal to us. That's what the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the name of his sefer is the Zohar. Zohar means Zohar. It's interesting. Zohar doesn't mean light. The word in Hebrew for light is Or. Zohar means a ray coming from that light, like a ray of light. That's what Zohar means. Something shining outward, because that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai comes to teach us, which is that everything in your life that a person receives is not the thing. Obviously, you receive gifts, but those gifts are just packages for the expression of the light of Hashem Himself. Now, once the neshama begins to realize that, then all of a sudden the following truth emerges. Not only is there plenty of space for these two people, because once we're talking about God Himself, God is infinite. So now already you're talking about there's plenty to go around. But more than just there's plenty to go around. The more I can, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Leimotzak Kadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik bracha el hashalom," that the only vessel that Hashem found to be a vessel for bracha is peace. So that's a very nice thing. It means you have to get along and so on. What's the deeper meaning of that? The deeper meaning of that is, what, you can't, why can't a person that's not, that's in the middle of a machlokes, why can't a person that doesn't have shalom, why can't he receive a blessing getting better from a sickness or having good children and so on? Why is it that the only vessel for blessing is peace? Well, the answer is because the blessing that the Mishnah is referring to is not the blessing of things. It's the blessing of experiencing God Himself in those things. And since God is complete and whole, and there's a classic line from the Baal Shem Tov, a concept, that Ein Etzem Mischalek, that when you're dealing with God Himself, you can't divide God up into pieces. If God's coming into your life, it's all of God. That's the way it works. And at the same time, again, God's infinite, so at the same time, He's completely all in your life, and He's completely all in everyone else's life. But since God is complete and whole and perfect, therefore, in order to receive that side of the gift, it has to be received by a whole, complete person. And then, since these two leaves are coming from the same twig, then in order for them to receive something complete and whole, which is God Himself, then they have to be complete and whole. And for them to be complete and whole, it demands that they actually connect to each other. Because if they don't connect to each other, then it's only half a twig. You understand? So what comes out is that the opposite. When you're thinking of what's coming down of the blessings in a person's life as just the things that you see, then these two leaves feel they're, you know, it's like, you know, the what's the game with the kids? They break the thing and the candy comes out.
Yeah.
Pinata, right? So once the pinata breaks, and all the, you know, because whoever gets the most, you know, there's only so much. So everyone, every kid is fighting for as much candy as possible. So the same thing as older kids, also the same thing. So but that's all chitzonius. And then the eights is like loving, which is, okay, so we have to keep the mamash separate. They can't even think about each other. They can't know each other. Leah has to be number one in all things. Rachel has to be number two in all things. Just keep them separate from each other. Shalinoga covered. The Tamir Rabbi Kiva, they could respect each other, but from a distance. But Rabbi Shimon Rechai, and that's all coming from a non-Pnimius HaTorah perspective. Comes Rabbi Shimon Rechai to reveal secrets of Torah, and from the perspective of secrets of Torah, it becomes clear that what are the blessings that you want? The blessings that you want fundamentally are just God Himself in disguise. Well, God is infinite, so first of all, there's enough to go around, number one. Number two, for God to enter into your life, God is whole, so you have to be whole. And the only way for you to be whole is if you connect to the other part of your twig. So what comes out is, instead of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva to truly receive the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, because Rav Shimon Rechai later on, obviously, you know, after the whole, you know, the 24,000 students died, and eventually Rav Shimon Rechai, you know, becomes the main student of Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Shimon Rechai said that a person should be very attentive to his Torah, to Rav Shimon Rechai's teachings, because his teachings are the essence of the essence of the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. The essence of the essence. So all the students of Rabbi Akiva, what they should have realized, that there's only one thing Rabbi Akiva is teaching, which is, v'ahavta l'recha kamaycha, zeklal gadol b'tayra, and v'ahavta seshem l'kecha. Right, those are the two sentences that Rabbi Akiva's whole life was about. V'ahavta seshem l'kecha, to love God, he said his whole life he's waiting to fulfill that pasuk, and v'ahavta l'recha kamaycha, zeklal gadol b'tayra. What do those two things have to do with each other? Well, the answer is Rabbi Akiva is saying everything. So Rabbi Akiva spends his whole life, you know, his adult life teaching Torah, right? And he's teaching his students one idea, another idea, complicated ideas, he's asking questions, he's doing all of that. And Rabbi Akiva, behind the scenes of his eye, behind, you know, in the twinkle of his eyes, is trying to, but he can't say it, because it's not something that you can say. Rabbi Akiva is telling his students that everything I'm telling you is v'yavta seshem lekech. Because all the information I'm giving you, just like blessings are just clothing for God, Torah is also just clothing for God. So I'm giving you information after information, ideas after ideas. I'm giving one share after another share. But the ultimately what I'm trying to convey is, I'm trying to give over to you the one God. And that one God could only be received, since one God is whole and complete, that one God can only be received by a whole and complete recipient, which is v'yahavta l'recha kamaycha. V'yahavta l'recha kamaycha doesn't mean respect someone, give them their space. V'yahavta l'recha kamaycha means that we're one entity, that we're of the same twig. And in order to receive one God, it has to be received by a singularity of Knesset Yisrael. And this is what Rabbi Akiva's whole life is really trying to say, but he can't say it. He's not able to articulate it. He's not allowed to. By its very definition, it can't be really articulated, and everything has its time. So the problem is, the students of Rabbi Akiva aren't picking up on this. And because of this, all they're doing is being noe kavod zeh lezeh, instead of being knowing kavod zeh bizeh. What does it mean to respect a person zeh bizeh? So there's one type of respect, as we said about, which is giving them their space. But there's another type of respect. You know, there's a section of halacha that's called the halachas to honor a person's rebbe, right? The kavod of a rebbe, you have to honor a person's rebbe. So the Rambam, we know when he organizes halacha, he's very meticulous in where to put things. So there's a section, so I'll put it up to you, where you think it should be. There's a section that of the Rambam that's called the Halachas of Talmud Torah, the Halachas of Learning. That's in one corner of Mishnah Torah. There's another section, which is the Halachas of Authority, Hilchas Mamrim, the Halachas of Sanhedrin, the Halachas of Bezdin, the Halachas of Rabbanim, like authority. That's what the laws of kings, the authority figures. Then there's this group of halachas that the Rambam has to put somewhere, which is the halachas of respecting a Talmud Chacham, and in particular, your Rebbe. Where should that go? If you ask me, I would say, those are halachas regarding authority figures. So that should be in the halachas of authority figures. The Rambam doesn't do that. The Rambam puts that in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Why? Because the Rambam is showing to us is that there's two types of respect. There's respecting authority figures, which is like a king and a Sanhedrin and a Bezin, which is like, I'm giving them their space and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to knock first before I, you know, go into the office. But then there's another type of respect, which is respecting for the purpose of connection, for the purpose of receiving. When a student has respect for their particular Rebbe or their particular, you know, mashpia, that's not to give them space. That's in order to create the bond to allow the flow of hashpa to descend from the Rebbe to the student. So the student has to humble themselves before the mashpia in order for the shefa, in order for the mashpia to give. That hachna, that humility, that respect is not to create a distance. No, the opposite. It's to create a bond of a hierarchy, right? A bond of hashpa, but it's to create that bond. It says the Rambam puts the laws of respecting one's Rebbe in the laws of Talmud Torah, because that's a different type of respect. That's respect that's part of the process of learning and receiving. This is what it means to be noy kavod zeh bizeh. To respect someone, to be noy kavod zeh lizeh, means a distance. And that's what Talmid Rabbi Akiva did. What they didn't do is shleinogu kavod zeh bizeh. They didn't respect one within the other. They didn't have the respect. They weren't trying to respect their friends in order to receive from their friends. Because the opposite, they were thinking to receive from him. I'm not receiving, he's taking from me. We're jostling for position. So the best is to separate. But they didn't realize, no. In order for you to receive, your friend has to receive. In order for him to receive, you have to receive. Your partner's in this. The more your friend receives, the more you get. The more bracha they have, the more I get. Why? Because what is bracha? Bracha is really God himself, and God is complete, and therefore he needs a complete vessel. So this is what the Gemara is trying to say. And this is ultimately going back to that moment of Eid HaGalazeh, when Yaakov Avinu sets up that Gal, Lag BaOmer, is overcoming that challenge of Lavan. Because the challenge of Lavan is to think of all the blessings that we have as just blessings. But the truth is, it's much more than that. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And since it's God himself, not only is there enough to go around, but it's much more than that. It's the only way to receive God is when there's a wholeness and a completion. So halacha lemaisa, it means a part of the, you know, Lag BaOmer is a very auspicious day for davening. For davening, for all things, especially family related in Yonim. But it's important to know, you know, and there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if you need something and your friend needs something, so if you daven for your friend, then you get answered first. So the great irony is that itself, which is such a beautiful, that Gemara is summing up what we're talking about. It's because by davening for someone else, it means that you're recognizing that the thing that I'm davening for is, in truth, I'm davening for God. That's what I'm looking for. And because I'm looking for God, for me to receive it, I need my friend to receive it. I need my friend to receive it first. So I have to like sort of become his student. And that friend is hopefully doing the same thing, trying to become your student. And now the two leaves are merging as one. And now there's a complete twig. Now there's a complete system over here. And that complete system can receive God himself, who is complete. So what happens? So you read that Gemara, and then it becomes completely corrupted. We're going to make a thing, make a trick. Really, I'm diving for myself, but I can't, you know, I have to go with the this is the trick. I'm going to dive for you, but you'll dive for me, but we're really both diving for ourselves. It's not the way it works. The avoid of Lag BaOmer, it's not easy, but you have to daven to Hashem that we should be zochet to daven like this, to truly, truly daven for each other, and to truly believe. And that, again, it doesn't mean, the most important thing by davening is to be honest and real. That's the most important thing. So if you don't feel this, then the most important thing is to be honest and real. But to least daven that a person should be zocha through the light of Rav Shem Reicha and the light of Lag BaOmer to be able to realize this and to pick up on this and to eventually reach this level with all of us together, that really all I'm interested in is Hashem's presence in the world. And once I begin to realize that, then all of a sudden I realize that I'm not more important than anyone else. And in order for me to receive, I need others to receive. And in order for them to receive, I need to receive. And then all of a sudden, it's not selfish anymore davening for yourself. It's not selfish anymore, you know, it's not a trick davening for someone else. You're davening for the Jewish people. You're davening for the Shechina. You're davening for Hashem. That's you're davening for. And again, if a person's not sensitive to that, then you daven to be able to reach that level. That's why I'll just end with one thing. I'm sorry, it's already late. Just a few more minutes. One of the aspects of Lag BaOmer that is less well known is that Lag BaOmer is connected to the Midah of Bitachon. It says in Pasuk when that reference to Lag BaOmer, Eid Hagal Hazeh. So the Eid, this Gal, this mound of rocks, which is Lag, should be the testimony. It says Bitchu BaHashem Adei Ad, which is Ad Eid Ayin Dalet. So the Rizal connects the two. That Lag BaOmer is specifically connected to Bitachon. Now this is a Shmuz by itself, so we're not going to go into this too much. But what's the difference between Amunah and Bitachon? One of the fundamental differences is this. Amunah means to believe that all the blessings in my life come from God. That's Amunah. Bitachon means that all the blessings in my life is God. And everything ultimately is just God interacting with me. Once I get it, it's God. And until I get it, God's with me in not getting it. That's Bitachon. And that's what Lag BaOmer does. So you have to daven by Lag BaOmer that a person should be zocha to reach the level where you can daven for other Jews as much as you're davening for yourself. And you should reach the level also in Lag BaOmer to have not just emunah, to believe that everything comes from Hashem, but to have Bitachon, that everything is Hashem. That's what Bitachon is. I should probably end with a story.
All 24 of them, not one of them had an independent thought. They all went together in the bad behavior.
It's not a bad behavior. It wasn't bad. This level of truth was not revealed yet. Think of the world and think of Torah as a big onion, okay? And there's layers to it. And it's not so nice. That's not a good mashal, but you understand.
Onions give flavor.
There you go. Okay, fine. That's true. It's charif. It's strong. Okay, good. So there are certain times in world history where certain layers of that onion is able to be peeled away and reveal a deeper layer. This, what we're talking about, is a much deeper. It's not an idea. It's not an idea. It's an experience. It's a reality. So that this layer of reality, that everything that God brings into the world is Him Himself, disguised as that. That was a layer of reality that was really post the 24,000 students. So
it had to happen.
That's why, you know, there's a statement. One of the great students of the Baal Shem Tov was Rav Pinchas from Karatz. He used to say that I thank God every single day that I was born in a generation that was after Rishon Baruchai, after the Arizal, after the Baal Shem Tov, where I'm familiar with these names. And he said it'll be a big rachmanis to be born in early generations where these truths were not revealed yet. So that's why the 24,000 students, they're not, but the Torah could not have been transmitted through them. Because the Torah was not, they were not, that layer of Torah that's necessary to move things forward towards Mashiach was not revealed through them. It was not revealed through them. That was Rishon Baruch Hai. Yeah.
The thought that kind of connects it all is that Lag BaOmer's Hod Shel Hod, arms squared.
100%. Exactly.
You have to, like, run, you have to actually go for it.
And that's what Aaron did. What did Aaron say? All right, to friends or to a couple, and he would say to one, you know, the other person, like he told me he's really sorry or she's really sorry. How many times can you do that without getting caught? Like, you know, at some point when Aaron comes, he's like, okay, I know the trick. You know, if we know the trick already, that means but the answer is that when Aaron said that to you, he was saying the truth. And you felt it, and it resonated, because Aaron understood that when you have two Jews that are fighting with each other, it's because they're so connected that there's this, like, stress. But Aaron went deeper, you know, as Hod, and Aaron said, no. The only way this person can receive is with you. The only way they can receive, and therefore this guy or this girl, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to work it out. So it just works out like that. That's what Aaron is, you know. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know if it's related at all. I was going to say something else, but I'm realizing now I think it's like too heavy. So I'll say a lighter story, but I'm not sure. There's the Chayz of Lublin, the great seer of Lublin, so he had very, very big eyes. He was able to see very, very well. And he's always very, he had a positive eye. So the Maisa goes like this, that there was a, this is more of, I'm realizing now, this is more, it might resonate more with guys, but you'll I guess you can imagine it. The Chayz of Lublin, in the town of Lublin, there was a guy who was a little bit, I don't know, probably not 100%. So he had a mishigas. His mishigas was that every Friday, outside of the men's mikveh, he would stand there and he would give everyone a comb. He would give out combs to everybody. That was his thing. You were bald, you got a comb. You had long hair, you got a comb. Doesn't make a difference. You're getting a comb. You got a comb last week, you're getting a comb again. He would do this. Hundreds of combs. Every week he would just give out combs. You liked it, you didn't like it, you're getting a comb. So the Chayzer heard about this, and the Chayzer went like out of his kelim. It's like unbelievable. Like, you know, it's such an unbelievable chesed and a kindness. It's like, Mamash Gavala, you're thinking of combs. Who would think that a person would need a comb? And he's so thoughtful. He's like going on and on. Okay, so meanwhile, the Chayzer was the Rebbe in Lublin. There was a Rav in Lublin who was not a chesed, who was not opposed to the Chayzer. And he heard about this, that the Chayzer was like going on and on about this guy, the comb guy. So, because he knew about it also, the comb guy. Everyone knew about the comb guy, but it was a little bit funny. So the Rav was like chuckling, the Chayz is making a big deal of him. So at some point when they met each other, the Rav and the Chayz, so the Rav said to the Chayz, I heard that you hold very highly of the comb guy. So he's like, oh, the comb guy is mamish. So the Rav says, I don't know, if you think it's such a big deal, I have a kasha. He says, what's your kasha? The Gemara says that when David HaMelech was in the bathhouse, he felt sad because he didn't have any mitzvahs. He's not wearing tefillin, he's not able to learn, there's no mitzvahs. So the only thing that the Gemara says, the only thing that David reminded himself of to give himself a little chizik was that he has a bris milah. Okay, so he has a bris. So ask the Rav to the Chayza, if giving out combs is such a big deal, why doesn't he just give out combs? Let him give out combs, and that'll be his mitzvah. Because you have to... So the Chayz says, with all due respect, Rav, you forgot a halacha. The halacha is that when a king goes into the bathhouse, he's not allowed to be with anyone else out of respect, so he has to be by himself. So that's why he couldn't give out any combs, because there's no one there. But if there would be people in the bathhouse, of course he would give out combs. So the Rav says, they go back and forth. So the Rav says to the Chayz, okay, acute back and forth. Why are you making a big deal? A guy giving out combs, he's a mishigim. So the Chayz says to him, listen, every yid has a secret. Every yid has a secret. You understand what his avoid is, what this Jew's avoid is with combs. You don't understand. I don't understand either. It's all Sisri Tara. It's all secrets of the universe. But don't minimize the secret of another Jew, because in order for God to come into the world, then we need this comb guy to do his avoid too. You want to have blessings in your life. That depends on him receiving blessings in his life. And it depends on his doing his avodah, you do your avodah, she does her avodah, and all together, now there's shalom, now there's a complete system of the Jewish people. That's how God comes into our lives. Hashem should bless us. We should all love every Jew and respect every Jew, not only to be noyakovet zeh lizeh, but to be noyakovet zeh bizeh, to daven for each other, daven for people that daven for each other on all levels. And we should be zocha through that and through connecting to Rav Shem Baruch and Lag Bomer and through the secrets of Torah to be able to experience all the blessings in the world and God himself in that blessings. And when God is in that blessing, then the blessing doesn't stop. Then it's adbeli died. Then it keeps on going because God keeps on going. God is infinite too. So we should be zocha to experience that. Befrat, bechlal, v'yaskol, to the barachimim, v'meir v'imein, amen. Once again, thank you so much. Hashem should bless you with all good things.
Thank you, everyone.